This week in episode 12, we're going to talk about something that's really important and something that I think all of us are striving for on this journey, which is to find your tribe. So we're going to talk about practical tips to find your people, to attract romantic partners, friends, business partners, things like that, and how to get out of your comfort zone a little bit and just put yourself out there. So it's actually going to be just the cold tub today. So, Ryan, why don't you do the honors first?
Thank you.
I just threw him in the...
Such a gentleman.
Threw him in the cold.
Honestly, this heat advisory outside is actually... Guys, yeah. This probably feels good.
Yeah, we have a heat advisory here in St. Pete, so we are craving some cold. All right, so while Ryan's acclimating here, it's at 42 degrees, but it feels like 36. So... First off, Ryan, I know you're obviously very outgoing like me and you enjoy talking to lots of people. Do you have any specific advice for people who, let's say, move to a new area and are looking to find their people, so to speak?
Yeah. St. Pete specifically is a relatively easy city to find your people because there's so many events, there's so many activities that the city puts on, more than most that I've lived in or been through.
Same here.
Run Club, as controversial as that may seem to some people love it, some people hate it. Run Clubs are a great way to meet a lot of people. These groups are huge most of the time, and it's low key. You can walk your dog, you can run a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles at your own pace. And obviously you get to get exposed to a big group of people. So that's one of the best starter kit ways that someone new could be introduced and acclimated to a lot of people in the city.
Yeah. And like you're saying, something like the Run Club is very useful if you're already into running. But I think just to preface that with finding activities that you enjoy doing first yourself and finding one or two people at something like a bigger event, like a Run Club, if you do enjoy running, or maybe it's going to a yoga class and striking up conversations with one to two people. But I think in society today, it's almost hard because we feel like it's not natural to initiate conversations with strangers. And that's how you meet people. So whatever your in has to be, but you don't have to have an in. You don't have to help somebody if they spilled their water. You could just be like, hey, I'm new to the area and I really enjoy doing yoga. Do you go to this class often? Or what style of yoga do you love? Or if you're running, do you like to run distance? Are you a sprinter? Are you training for any races? Are you going to do a marathon? Just simple introductory questions like that, I think, can help people that do experience social anxiety in those bigger environments. I'm not a huge fan of crowds myself, but being able to talk to a couple people in some of those bigger environments where there's a lot of different personalities, I think is really beneficial.
I will say one strategy. If you're new, you're trying to get introduced to people and you have some social anxiety with talking to people, act confused. Even if you're not confused, people love to help. So if you say, hey, I'm new, I'm looking for XYZ, people love that. They like to feel useful. What's your favorite food spots around here? Just start revealing some of the things that you're interested in or things that you're even not interested. Just start asking those questions of, hey, can you help me out with this? Can you help me out with that? People love to help people. There's very few people that will ever shy you away if you start off with something like, hey, I'm new, I'm looking for this, and then boom, you're in.
Absolutely. That's such a good point. When I moved to St. Pete like 3 years ago, I felt like I had multiple people that were eager to give me tours, tell me about spots to eat, places to work out, things to do. So just like Ryan's saying, just being honest with where you're at. If you're a little bit of a deer in headlights or trying to find your people, just ask around. Hey, I enjoy doing this. Do you know any places to do this or that? But before focusing on all the external factors and things to do, because if you live in a popular city with people in your age group, let's say you're somewhere between like 10, 20 and 35, and you're looking to make new friends, I think it's really important for you to first know who you are, and because you're going to attract what you become, that law of attraction. If you want to attract your people, your tribe, a romantic partner, you've got to create those attributes that you want in friends, that you want in partners, in yourself. So if you want to attract a really positive friend that's super loyal, super dependable, you need to work on those, improving those traits within yourself first. And then you'll find, oh, wow, now I have all these people in my life that are super dependable. I can count on them for anything. They're really positive. They always bring a smile to my face or make me laugh. And you start to build this synergy. And once you get one or two friends, you might find that this energy just compounds, because then they have friends that are similar, and then they're introducing you to them. And then it keeps going and going as that circle builds. Have you experienced that in any of your current circles, Ryan?
Yeah. On that note too, if you meet friends out at the bar and you don't feel like drinking every weekend, those friends and the foundation that you've established with them is going to be the thing that you gravitate towards with one another. So you just got to be careful about how you're starting off the foundation of the friendship, the relationship, whatever that may be. Because you just have this unspoken thing now of, yeah, let's go out. What are you doing? This and the other thing. And people succumb to peer pressure and social pressure. So if you don't want to be drinking every weekend, it's probably best to find your friends somewhere else where you want to go, to maybe walk in the park and find people like that, or go to the gym and find people like that. Yeah, but I've definitely experienced the effects of the foundation, how the foundation of the relationship begins, and then how we share our time, this, that, and the other thing. If I met you in the bar and now I'm asking you to go to the gym, there's a little bit of a friction there. If I meet you in the bar and ask you to go to the bar, it's seamless, but now we're maybe exasperating a habit that we both might not necessarily want. So just be careful of that.
That's really good advice. And another thing I think it's important to consider is the impact of social media, right? And just the ability to connect with different people and message people. I think a lot of people are more comfortable initiating a lot of times through these dating apps and through Instagram and things like that. But take advantage of some of these platforms, like Facebook, for example, has a lot of groups that you can just message. And I see it all the time in the same P group. Hey, I'm new to the area. I'm looking for a pickleball coach. Or hey, I'm new to the area. I'm really looking for a personal trainer. And that's like what you were saying before. You're saying, hey, I'm new to the area, and you're asking for help, and people will point you in the right direction, right? It's like, if you're lost and you're asking for directions, people really want to help. I was in New Zealand with my now fiance, and we got lost and we couldn't get an Uber. But the first thing I did was, hey, let me go talk to one of these people. There's a bunch of houses. Let me ask them, where can I find the nearest Uber? They end up calling people, and then so one of their other neighbors drives by, and then he asks her if she can take us on her normal commute to work to a place where we can Uber. Boom, bang, done. Taking it. And that's just being resourceful and being confident enough to and humble enough to express your need for help. I think a lot of people are too proud sometimes, especially men, and they feel like they need to figure out everything on their own, and they need to find their own friends and find their girlfriend or whatever it may be. But enlist people around you. We're all on this journey together. We're all trying to find our tribes. And it's a really primal instinct, because our ancestors relied on tribes for survival. And nowadays, we rely on our tribes for things like getting picked up from the airport, or having social outings, going to dinner, or going to different concerts or whatever events it may be. But these things are really important, because we build memories with our communities. And when we're in a time where we need help, let's say we get a flat tire or whatever, we can count on our people to help us in those situations. So I think it's a really important thing to focus on. And also, there's people who are very comfortable being alone. So they might say, hey, Ryan, I understand what you're saying about finding your people, but if I'm good by myself, why should I try to interact with other people if I don't really vibe with them, and I just like doing my own thing, and I'm a homebody? What would be your response to somebody like that?
Sure. From my standpoint, if you're super introverted and you like to do things by yourself, there's not a problem with that. Einstein has a quote with being a loner, right? And that just is, I don't remember what the quote exactly is, but essentially what he's saying is that, like, you find yourself and you find the things that you truly like about you when you're alone. So there is that benefit of it. At the same time, too, there is a whole world out there, and you don't know what you don't know, and you're not exposed to what you're not exposed to. So if you're developing yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, and you're doing that alone, that's phenomenal. Not many people in the world can do that. But if you feel like you can be a little bit more mature or more intellectual in any of those categories, there's people out there who are way more developed than you, older, more wise, have different perspectives. And that might be a benefit for you to reach out to those people. One of the other things I wanted to go off of what you said is the guys, for example, a lot of times we feel like, oh, we got to do it on our own. And we feel it's just like a stereotype to not ask for help. And I've gone through this before too. But there's an insecurity with being vulnerable. And I've attributed this before. If I ask for help, that means I'm weak. And that means I can't do it, X, Y, Z, and revealing that I need some sort of assistance. And to me, though, I was pretty uncomfortable with doing that for a while. That's silly, right? People have definitely done what you're doing for the most part, unless you're inventing something new. People have probably done everything that you want to do. So there's the whole idea where there's nothing new under the sun, and there are people and resources out there that can expedite the process for you to do anything really in the world. And getting over that insecurity of you asking for help, that can go a long way and open you up to a lot of doors and other opportunities that you may have not had. You just kept your mouth shut.
Very true. You're really missing out on many opportunities to learn from other people. And that's the cool thing about finding your tribe is within that tribe, there's not going to be just farmers, let's say, or engineers or just doctors. I think when you really are forming a tribe around you, you have people of all disciplines, right? Because everybody brings something different to the table, and together you form a really strong unit. So I know for myself too, within my tribe, there's a lot of different activities that I enjoy doing with different people. And a lot of that is what you talked about before, which is the context of where I met them and what we were doing together. How do you go about integrating people in your tribe and, let's say, expanding something beyond just going running with the person you met at Run Club or playing pickleball with the person you met at the local pickleball courts? What's your strategy for integrating these different people within your tribe?
I'm a little biased and a little bit more subjective in this answer because I am a connector by heart. I love to connect people to one another. And I'm also like extremely psychoanalytical when it comes to looking at people's characteristics and traits. I love the idea of industrial organizational psychology and all that. So with me, there's a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I'm sure you've heard of it. And if you haven't, go read it right now. It will benefit your life. And one of the things he talks about is the mastermind group, where you're going to have a natural inclination to be a little bit more intellectual in a specific subject or field, regardless. And that's like your superpower. And to make up for all the things that you're weaker in and you don't have this such a natural inclination to, get those other people who already have that natural inclination and integrate them into the group. Once you have these people that make up for your weaknesses, you start to formulate this machine, this system that benefits everybody way more than you could ever benefit yourself. So that's a way to go about it. You have to know what you're good at. At the same time, you have to lose your pride, swallow your pride, and know what you're also weak at, and then find those people who are strong at those things. Because there's a high chance that the things that you're weak in are also the things that you probably don't want to do. And those things that you're weak in, someone else is strong in, and they probably love doing that. There are people who love looking at Excel all day and going through data and analyzing all that stuff. That could not be further from the truth for me. I love being in the trenches with the people, talking, making all the ideas happen, this and the other thing. So if you find those people that can make up for the weaknesses that you know you have, that's where you start to get this coordination and this symbiotic relationship that you have with these people. And then from there, you build two. Okay, now both of you are strong in these suits, but there's something else that's missing. Someone else is strong in that suit. Bring them into the tribe.
That's so good. I love the word symbiosis because that's really what it becomes when you have a community of different people with different strengths. Then you guys complement each other really well. And I think the same goes for relationships a lot of times. And I think it becomes even more essential to be mindful of the context that you're meeting when you're in the dating scene. And I want to pivot into that because I had a friend recently ask me, hey, man, like, I'm looking to find a girlfriend. I feel like I'm in a good place. I just don't really know where I should go to put myself out there to potentially meet my life partner. And I was like, this is such a great question. So I took time and I sent him a text of, okay, if I was single, what would I be doing? And I told him, similar like we're talking about right now, it's all about figuring out what are the things that you really enjoy doing and feel comfortable doing, because then you're going to be the most comfortable in that social environment and more bubbly and willing to talk to people. If I don't like going to the bars, which I don't, and I try to go there to meet people and talk to girls, I'm not going to be inclined to go talk to girls because I don't like to be there in the first place. And it doesn't make me feel great when I can't hear things. It's everything's really loud. I can't have a conversation. People are inebriated. It just doesn't really mesh well. So for him, I was telling him, I know you like to play pickleball. You could go out and play pickleball at the courts with one of your buddies. And then you start striking up conversation with some ladies there. That's great. I know a lot of pickleball couples that exist right now. Or you could go to a farmer's market. I was trying to get him to think about where would the places be that your future partner would probably be hanging out at. Where are the higher value women really hanging out at a lot of times? You're talking about the churches, the farmer's markets, Trader Joe's, those kinds of places. They're probably not at the bars, right? Not to judge, but it's just a fact, right? If you're looking to find your husband or wife, I'm not saying you can't. I've met couples that have met at bars. I'm not saying that's impossible, but to meet people that are aligned with your values, you want to go into an environment that is going to have the highest probability of you finding that person and can and potentially connecting with them. Maybe that's at a concert if you love concerts, or maybe that's at a festival, or you're just out to eat and you're getting ice cream or something, and then you strike up conversation with the ice cream girl. You know, whatever it is. But so part of it is hacking it and putting yourself in an environment where you're more likely to meet somebody that's aligned with you. And the other half is doing something where you feel comfortable and you're going to be more comfortable to just be your true authentic self. Because if you're going to connect with somebody at all, I think you want to do it from a place where you can be your true authentic self, where there's not alcohol and other things involved that make you more and may make you more socially comfortable. But that's not who you really are. It's who you, and that's what I think the trouble is with people, is they're meeting each other when they're on some sort of substance, whether it's alcohol or they're high or they're on drugs. And so those chemicals that you're feeling and that your brain are getting in the beginning it's a false reality of what it actually is. So then when you're not in that context anymore, it's, whoa, where's the spark we had? That was a fake spark. You know what I mean? What are your thoughts about that as far as dating, meeting under a certain circumstance and just environmental situations to meet people?
So yeah, it goes back to that foundation of how you start the relationship is going to have some sort of predication on how the relationship will go and what environments you like to spend time with one another. And one other caveat that I'd just like to add too is having the balls to go up to the person and say something and reveal that you're interested in them to a degree further than acquaintance or just friends. I call this the 99%. And I explain this to people like this, where it's like, okay, we've laid out a lot of things that are going to help you find those relationships, but you also have to have the confidence to shoot the shot in a sense. So with the 99%, like we just talked about, it's okay, where do I want to go to find the person? All right, you're there. Now you finally see that person. You're like, wow, that person's really interesting to me, for at least from what I can tell. And you guys are in the same environment. It's a good environment. You notice each other. Maybe you're playing that eye locking game, right? That we all play. To show some interest off rip. But then from there, you've made it 99% of the way. You've put yourself there. You've put yourself in the situation. You see her, she sees you, X, Y, Z. And now you're right there. You need to bridge the gap. And that's that last 1%. And that last 1% is huge compared to the other 99%. It's like when your phone's down to 1%, and somehow that 1% lasts way longer than the other 99%. You're like, how does that happen? That 1% has a lot. There's a lot of value in that 1%. So you have to have the balls to bridge that gap and have that spirit to go after what you want. And that's a whole nother topic of conversation.
I love that. It's so key. It's just being direct. And like Ryan's saying, having the balls to just initiate and put yourself out there. But I think it's hard for a lot of people because we fear rejection. But once you get over that fear and realize that not everybody's for you, it's okay to be rejected. It's totally fine. Don't take it personal. You don't have to take it personal. Maybe it's not the right match. And you'd be better being direct than being in this gray area and then that person not knowing if you're interested and you not really initiating. And then what could have been amazing never even had a chance because you didn't follow through with that 1%. And I want to mention, this doesn't have to be just for guys. I think society puts a lot of the pressure on men to initiate first a lot of times. But if you're a woman and you see a guy yes, you can give him the body language and the eyes and stuff, but which is all nice, but I really respect a woman who just comes up and says, hey, I'd love to get your number. Or, hey, I think you're interesting. I've seen you walk around a couple of times. Like, would you like to like go do something? Or like people are like, oh no, that's like too forward. Or, oh, like women are like, oh, I'm too proud to do that. I have had that happen to me several times because sometimes I just frankly haven't noticed these women, but they've noticed me because I'm 6'5" and I'm very tall and I maybe haven't seen them around in public, but they've seen me. And I'm like, absolutely, let's go grab dinner. Let's go. Yeah, even if it doesn't have to turn into a romantic relationship, it could just be a friendship.
Could be.
Right. But I think everybody is like so uptight about, oh my gosh, if I don't initiate or if I don't 100% feel it and it's not going to turn into something romantic, why bother?
Yeah.
Because you can have an amazing relationship, even if it's not romantic. And right. that kind of takes the pressure off. But I think a lot of people are, especially women, are fearing that guys are only going to initiate if they're interested sexually or physically and stuff. And a lot of times that is true.
Sure.
But sometimes when I say hello or ask you a question beyond just like my coffee order, it doesn't mean I'm flirting with you. It means like I'm just trying to connect you as a human being. Like, I don't need to hear, oh, I have a boyfriend. Okay, yeah, like I also have a girlfriend. Chill. Like, chill. You know what I mean? So just be authentic. Don't always try to assume that you know the other person's intention. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think that'll really help you as far as connecting to people, not pulling away too quick, and also not hesitating, like Ryan's saying. Any last practical tips, Ryan, before we wrap it up? I think this was a great conversation.
One more. You have me thinking about this too. With the rejection side of things, I would actually try to get comfortable with putting yourself out there and leaving the opportunity you get rejected. The self-esteem that you have when getting rejected is obviously the thing that's on the table and the thing that's vulnerable. But if you say things like if you're trying to get as many rejections as possible just to get desensitized to the bad feeling of rejection, that's cool. Or the door-to-door sales, right? Cold knocking and stuff like that. If the girl rejects you and you say things like, of course she doesn't like me, she's got bad taste, right? Things to help your self-esteem so that you don't take the short end of the stick away from doing something ballsy. Be proud of yourself for at least going up to them and putting yourself out there. Or just say something along the lines of, maybe that was the man upstairs or whatever you believe in allowing you to dodge a bullet that just you couldn't first see in the forefront of the card spell, and you guys actually were to spend more time together. Maybe it was not the thing. I think about this all the time when I forget something at home as I walk out and then I walk back into my house to grab that thing, that maybe that was me avoiding a car accident. Maybe that was me avoiding not paying attention and then maybe tracking somebody while I was on the way. You just never know these things.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to psych yourself out and start to internalize that you're not worth it, you're never going to do that again, this and the other thing. That's give yourself the benefit of the doubt when you're putting yourself out there in these situations, and be proud that you're overcoming your fear of rejection, of connection, and all that good stuff.
Wow. That is great. We're going to end it there, y'all. We got cold today. We hope you did too. Get in your local plunge. Come visit Vitality in St. Pete on 4th Street. Love you guys. Peace. Yeah.